Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, and joining me from New York City is my co-host, my brother in Christ, Mr. David Paxton. How things going in the Northeast there, David?
Go pretty good. We're, it's April 29th, so we hit 87 degrees today.
Wow. You're almost up there with us.
I have a question, though.
Yeah.
Now, I was wondering, in that intro, is that a French horn or is that an oboe?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
It sounds like you got a whole band playing in the back. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I just bought it. I don't know how they did it.
It's very nice, I must say.
Awesome. All right. Well, so now Columbia University's in New York, right?
It is. Matter of fact, I just got a picture today of it, like in 1897, and it shows Columbia, and it's got like fields all around it, not like it is today.
Wow. Mm. Okay. Yeah, it's kind of like the University of Texas. It's 1883, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and it started off with 40 acres was what was designated to it. And so that's the reason that to this day they call it 40 acres, even though it's like a tremendously bigger than that now.
They bought a lot more, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's miles. Yeah, it's a big one. It's a big campus. All right. Yeah, because freshmen can't even drive a car at UT first year. You have to find somebody that's a sophomore, junior, or senior. They will not allow freshmen to drive on campus. One of our quarterbacks found that out the hard way. He got his car towed. Anyway, they don't play. There's a lot of news going on right now, with Israel. And now I'm kind of wondering, there was a lot of the Biden administration has been punishing Israel, condemning some of their actions and stuff like that. And for the past several days, we've been having very severe storms all across the United States. You think there might be any?
There always is. I mean, if we look, anytime we, as a nation, well, any nation for that matter, but we kind of live in America, so we see the ones that are here. But any of them, and it's always some sort of what they call an act of God. Some people don't like that term, but I think it's true.
Me too.
They're just, keep doing this and watch what happens. Watch what happens to all these universities and everything now. It's going to be quite interesting. You know what I really get a kick out of is these people, they have no idea what they're even protesting. We just got to free them. Because they hear the news, they say, oh, look, Israel is attacking them. Oh, well, that's not right. And they come out with all this. But you have the alphabet community, they're over there pro Hamas. I was like, we'll send you over. I'll buy you
they
a ticket. We'll see what happens.
They wouldn't like that. I saw where the leader, or at least a leader in Iran, was praising the people that are doing the protesting. If that's not a reason to stop, I don't know what is. I mean, basically, the people now are committing treason against the United States of America, in my opinion.
They are. They don't even understand what's going on. It's just, we're sitting here. I often think, what could I do to change this? And it's like,
nothing.
I really can't, I mean, other than, we pray, we lift up the Lord. We have our voice here so we can speak truth to people. So we can have some people at least possibly be saved. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And then the Lord's just, it basically tells me, hey, just sit back and watch. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Well, I've only got about three reports that I'm going to play as far as audio version goes. Again, now, if you guys want to see us in visual form, all you've got to do is go to lastchristian.net. It's lastchristian.net, and it'll always guide you exactly where you can get the video version of these. Of course, we appreciate every radio station out there that continues to carry our show. We continue to be growing now. I think it was 65 now, I think. So,
it's rocking.
Yeah, it's continuing to grow. So I'm really happy about that. Now, I'm going to be bouncing around a little bit with these, so, you know, be patient. The first one I got is because I still think that the United States is overextending itself militarily. You know, we're protecting, we say we're going to protect Taiwan. We're in Syria. And right now, we're really at war. And, you know, that's kind of something that people don't want to hear, but we really are. I'm just not sure who we're at war with. I'm not sure if we're at war with the Houthis or with Yemen. Listen to this.
Yemen's Houthi rebels on Saturday claimed shooting down another of the U.S. military's MQ-9 Reaper drones, airing footage of parts that resembled components of the unmanned aircraft.
The Houthis said they shot down the aircraft with a surface-to-air missile, part of a renewed series of assaults this week by the rebels after a relative lull in their pressure campaign over the Israel-Hamas conflict in the Gaza Strip, Joseph Eckerson reporting.
So are we at war with Yemen? Are we at war with the terrorist group Houthis, or are we at war with both of them?
That's a really good question. You know, and they don't talk about war at all. But I do know this, though. The whole reason they keep us at war is because it's only during war that they can make blanket laws like that. Mm-hmm. If we weren't, we would have a different flag, actually. The flag that we all know and love is the wartime flag. There's another one that is the peacetime flag, and we should have been flying that, and it's only flew it for like a couple years in our entire history. But they do that on purpose because that allows them to make special rules. And, you know, most people don't know that, but that is a whole nother can of worms, which we can find on the C2K report. But
yeah, absolutely.
It's way too long. It's like years of study. But anyway,
there's also go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's kind of where we're at. They have to keep this perpetual state of war because we're in an evil time, you know, and the principalities and powers are evil. And until Jesus comes back, this is just the way it's going to be. And our job is to save people out of that kingdom and bring them into the kingdom of Christ, not to take over the world, because Jesus is going to do that.
Amen. Right. Now, this next report is about Russia and the Ukraine. And, you know, we just passed a bill, and I believe the president's already signed it, where we're sending a lot of money to the Ukraine. But the Ukraine is losing. And there's international reports that are already saying that they're out of the ballgame, you know, that they're done. But Russia,
they were when they started.
Yeah, Russia's stepping it up. Let's listen to this one.
Russia launched a barrage of missile attacks against Ukraine overnight in strikes that appeared to target the country's energy infrastructure.
Russia said its air defense systems had intercepted more than 60 Ukrainian drones over the southern Krasnodar region. Ukraine's air force said that Russia had launched 34 missiles against Ukraine overnight, of which 21 had been shot down by Ukrainian air defenses. Benjamin Wright reporting.
So now, I missed it when I was looking at this report. I thought they said infrastructure, and instead it looks like they're going after their energy. So that brings me to, again, bring up something that I've been saying for a long time, that Israel is sitting on a lot of oil. I mean, they're sitting on a lot of gas, natural gas, and I don't think they've found the biggest pool of oil yet. And I think that's going to be the catalyst, because Russia's having trouble selling stuff. Well, if they corner the market, then they'd be able to sell it, and nobody would be able to do anything about it, because if you didn't buy it from them, you just wouldn't get it. So, you know, if they can't sell theirs, they're going to go get Israel's, or at least they think they will. And I think that that's the precursor of the Gog Magog war. Personal opinion, 100%. What do you think, David?
Yeah, that's the hook that's going to bring them down. God's going to put them in a position where they have no choice but to come down and invade Israel. Because that they need the stuff that they have. Israel's not going to give it to them. So they're going to be in a position to basically live or die. That's the hook in the jaw, really.
Yeah. And, you know, again, I say that as personal opinion, but then again, the Bible is really specific. It says it doesn't go in for political reasons. Okay, and oil wouldn't be a political reason. It would be a financial reason. The Bible also says that they go down for booty or for goods.
Spoil. And
spoil. And oil qualifies for that, right?
It certainly does. And there's different words that could say there is oil under the ground in Israel, too. I mean, we just heard someone talking about that. Yeah. And it's definitely down there, and it's definitely in the Bible if you look it up.
Yeah.
We could do that on one show, too. That's a whole show in itself.
I think we should, because I think we're getting closer and closer to that as we go. Now I'm going to bring it back to the United States for a minute. I'll play you this one, then we'll talk about it some more.
Students protesting the Israel-Hamas conflict at universities across the U.S. vowed to keep their demonstrations going despite ongoing clashes with law enforcement.
Early Saturday, police began clearing out a pro-Palestinian student encampment on the campus of Northeastern University in Boston. The school said the demonstration, which began 2 days ago, had become infiltrated by individuals not affiliated with the university, with no connection to the school. Jessica Oakley reporting.
Now, Columbia University up there, and we've already talked about it a little bit, David, but they are actually starting now to crack down on these anti-Israel agitators as of Monday, whereas the protesters are calling for an amnesty. I think that's kind of funny. But anyway, they're calling for amnesty. And because Columbia is suspending students. So, you know, they're actually beginning to take some action for the first time. Now, I'm going to credit my university, my old alma mater here, the University of Texas. Now, this is from the Texas Tribune. Listen to this. According to DPS, the Department of Public Safety, more than 20 arrests have been made by law enforcement. That's up to about 50 now, I believe. The university president, Jay Hartzell, said it was a challenging day for many, but he seemed to defend the actions of police and administrators. No, he didn't seem to. He did. Okay. What he said was the protesters tried to deliver on their stated intent to occupy campus. People not affiliated. Now, this is the big one. Okay. People not affiliated with UT joined them, and many ignored the university officials' continual plans for restraint and to immediately disperse. The university did what we said we would do in the face of prohibited actions. Criminal trespass charges were filed against the arrestees, but all arrestees have been released from custody. Arrested protesters will not be allowed back on campus, even though charges have been dropped, according to a statement from the university. And I can tell you that students that were involved, well, that's it. They're done with the University of Texas. Texas will not take them back. It's permanent. Permanent ban. It's now
lifetime, right?
Right. So if they want to go back at UT again, the thing is that these are paid protesters in almost every place in the United States that's having protests right now. Have you seen the signs these people carry? These aren't homemade signs. These are George Soros paid for. Really expensive and signs.
All the camps look the same.
Exactly the same.
Yeah. It's like, where did they get all these really nice tents?
Yeah.
George and everybody Soros. Set up the exact same tent with a main tent in the middle. Isn't that something?
Yeah. These are George Soros tents, George Soros funded signs, and George Soros funded protesters. And I'm not saying that as opinion. I'm saying that by documented fact through many agencies all over the world. Just because the United States media won't tell you, the international media is talking all about it. So you might as well get used to it. Now, whether or not it's George Soros or Sun Soros, I couldn't tell you that, because George Soros, from my information, is very close to death. Very close to death. So I hope that he accepts Jesus Christ very, very soon. You have any other comments on that one, David?
Yeah, I mean, these people are being used by the devil. And, you know, you mentioned praying for them, and it's easy to get mad at them. But in reality, are we mad at them, or are we mad at the devil? Because the devil is kind of lying to them. They really, really believe they're doing the best thing for humanity, but that comes from the lie of the devil. So on one hand, you know, yeah, they should know the difference. Mm-hmm. Okay. If they're seeking the truth, they should know the difference. And on the other hand, they've been completely deceived into thinking that when this new world order comes, that they're going to get all these bionic parts and they're going to be able to live for that 1,000-year reign that they're talking about. You know, you heard, you know, Mr. Mustache talking about the 3,000-year reign. So they're trying to usurp the authority of Christ again with that whole 1,000-year thing.
Yeah.
So here we are. They're being deceived. They think they're really doing a good thing. They think they're going to, you know, inherit these great bodies that they're trying to do and everything's going to be wonderful. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize that the devil just doesn't care about them and he's using them to steal. And then, you know, he opens the abyss. All the demons come out and they take over his body, which they just put all the bionic parts in and say, thanks. And they, you know, bury him and torment him in the back until they're done with the body. And then he's in the lake of fire.
Right.
So you really got to pray for these people. And I know that's hard, you know, because we're so angry at
them. It is hard. Yeah.
But that's the whole idea of grace. You know, Jesus was still, he was mad at us when he still died for us. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In a sense.
In order for us to be forgiven, we must forgive those who have sinned against us. And that's hard to do. I'm not going to lie to you. That's really hard to do.
While we are calling them out, we still have to forgive them. Mm-hmm. And in hopes that the calling out will, you know, wake them up and lead them to repentance, or at least save some others who can see, you know, the evil truth that's there.
Well, I know I've had a couple of now I have to call them acquaintances that used to be friends, unfortunately. And I take it as a badge of honor because they say, you're not the same guy.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's for confirmation.
like I said, I take it as a badge of honor, you know, mm-hmm. so because, you know, Jesus said, you know, they hate you, but they hated me first. Now, I can't remember the exact scripture, but I think I'm pretty close on that, right?
Yeah, that's what he says. He, you know, basically said, if they're not hating you, you know, look and see what you're doing wrong, because they will hate you for speaking the truth,
right?
And that, you know, that's why 10 ways to a better life now. You might want to watch out. Mm-hmm. If your best life is now, you got some problems. Because my best life is when Jesus comes back. In the
Amen.
Kingdom.
Amen. Yeah. You know, other than that, we have challenges all the time. You know, it's as a matter of fact, it gets harder. I'm not going to lie to anybody. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that doesn't mean it's all peaches and cream after that. Yep. You know, it means
it's much more rewarding.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, like I said, I like losing those friends, you know, I took as a badge of honor. There's going to be travail in your life. I mean, you're going to continue to have problems, but I don't even know how to describe it, David. Maybe you can.
Well, while we're in this world, I mean, we're in this sinful world. You know, mm-hmm. I am persuaded to believe nothing can separate us from the wonderful love of God.
Amen.
Because we have all these trials and tribulations that are here. It comes with the territory. You know, it's built into the fallen nature that we have. And his plan has to play out. His contract has been paid. Now it's just a matter of working through the paperwork and working out the details, so to speak, until he comes back and takes over. That's Revelation 5, where he's opening the scroll. Amen. You know, there's seven seals on that scroll. Mm-hmm. As he opens each one, boom, there's that judgment on the other. Okay, he's fixing that. Boom. Okay, now he's going to fix this. Okay, now this judgment's coming. Now this judgment's coming. Mm-hmm. We're going to see all these judgments lined up as he, boom, 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 he's opening the seal. But that's a title deed.
Right.
Most people don't realize that that's a contract.
Amen.
It's a contract because you could tell because it's a title deed and a marriage ketubah, which are both contracts.
Okay.
And you know that because it was written on the outside. When they would roll up a scroll, they would just roll it up and you can just open it and read it. Mm-hmm. But if it was rolled up and sealed, only the one written on the outside could open it. No one was allowed to open the seal. That's where we get the whole Revelation thing from.
Okay.
And because it was a contract with mankind, and that's why he said no one was worthy to open that scroll. Oh, wait a minute. here's the Lamb of God. He became a man, and he's sinless, and he paid off all that debt. Now he is the one worthy to open the scroll.
Worthy as a lamb.
Yep. And now he basically took back the contract, and he's going to roll that out, and it's going to be glorious.
Amen. 100%. 100%. Okay.
But while we're here, we got to deal with this stuff.
Yeah.
But praise God, it's coming. Listen, it's short. You know, most of us ain't got 50 years left.
No.
It's going to be soon. Don't worry about it.
I had this is just me, okay? Just the way I looked at life, okay? And this was really created during my BC days, my before Christ days, but it, you know, still kind of applies. And that is, if you can double your age, let's say you're 25, okay, you double that, now you're 50, you probably going to be alive. I mean, you know, that's how I looked at it. I was, you know, I'm 25 years old. If I double my age and I'm 50, I will probably be alive. Well, I'm 65 now. I failed the double test.
Be 130.
Yeah, can't do that no more. You know, that's just kind of how I looked at it.
Is that what they mean by over the hill?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm there already. I'm you know, going right on up that hill. That's
how
for
sad
sure.
It must be for people who don't have Christ, and they're like, okay, now the end is coming. Then what do I do?
Yeah,
and then be shocked and surprised as, oh, by the way, there's eternal torment because you don't want to be with God.
Yeah.
Oy.
Well, you know, we've said it before. Everybody really does believe in God, but you know, they don't want to because they want to keep doing what they're doing. And if they do continue doing what they're doing, like he said, they're going to be in for a bad, bad time. You know, praise the Lord. So, I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Since we're on this tangent, that just reminds me. Remember the parable of Abraham and Lazarus in. It was in the bosom of Abraham, and there was a rich man and Lazarus. Mm-hmm. Jesus told the parable, and the rich man was in the Hades part.
Right.
He's like, oh, can I just get a drop of water? Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
You're begging and begging and begging just for a drop.
Drop.
All right? Yeah. But what struck me is that he said, well, can I at least go back and tell my brothers not to come here?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So he was even cognizant of the fact that his brothers were running down the same path. Now imagine that. Not only does someone get to that eternal state and realize that they're lost and then no water for all eternity, torment forever, but then everyone else that they've led down that path and they can't go back and change it. So now you have the torment of thinking of everyone else you've led to this torment.
That's awful.
Yeah. So, but he clearly said, what did he say after that? If they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they're not going to believe you, even if you rise from the dead.
Yeah.
And that's powerful because the rapture is coming.
Yes.
All right. And it says the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
Okay. So how many people will still look at us when our bodies are changed? And if we happen to be gone.
Well,
maybe we're one of the ones that raised from the dead. Maybe the ones that were here. In either case, our bodies will be changed and raised from the dead and walk around, and these people still won't believe. They'll say, oh, you made it up, or it's CGI. We get that. Yeah, it's CGI. Yeah, sure it is. Yeah, watch this. So, and it's just, willfully ignorant, and it's just sad.
Willfully ignorant. That's a big one right there, you know. Do it on purpose. Yeah. All right. Now, we haven't gotten really into what we're going to be talking about today, which is the fact that, again, now, it's kind of my opinion here, and then again, it's not. The prophecies of the Bible fulfilled, and what I'm talking about here is 2 Timothy. And the quote that I have there for those of you watching it in video forms, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. That's what we try to do here. That's 2 Timothy 3:16. But we're going to get into the entire chapter of 2 Timothy 3 because it is telling us current events are playing out right now. And that means that prophecies of the Bible are being fulfilled right in front of your eyes. And this is your opportunity to see it And this is your opportunity to double check me. And if you don't believe it, look on your local news, look in your newspaper, talk to your friends, talk to your family, talk to an atheist. And they'll tell you that exactly what we're going to read is happening right now. And we're going to get into that big time in the second half of the show. But we're going to end this part of the show a little bit different. And that is that David has installed a Bible study. You don't mind me talking about this, do you?
No, let's do it.
Okay. He has installed a Bible study every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern time, right?
New York City time.
Yeah. And David, I'm going to let you roll with it. You got 2 minutes. Go for it.
Well, you know, we've been doing a Bible study on here as well, but we have got a lot of requests for people to actually join in and do a study together. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do that every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. in Eastern time. So if you are interested in joining us, just send an email to thehiddenday@protonmail.com, thehiddenday@protonmail.com, and let us know, you know, and we can send you a link. Mm-hmm. So we will be on there. We'll be digging deep into the study, and we're going to learn, you know, how to apply these things to your life. It's mm-hmm. not just going to be, you know, hey, them throwing these cool things at you, because there's millions of cool things in the Bible. Yeah. No, we're going to look at each one and practically apply them to everybody who's there. So you'll be able to apply them to your life, because that's what the word is all about. Mm-hmm. Is so, you know, to live our lives better. It's mm-hmm. that contract that was written so we can have an agreement with the Lord, and he does everything legally and by contract. So we're going to figure out what the book says.
Amen.
And how to live a perfect life. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And we had a test run last week, so that was good. Everything's working perfectly.
That was there. It was great. Yeah.
It'll be about an hour, and then you can jump off and jump on if you have to go, or you could stick around. We have a Q&A. Mm-hmm. A lot of questions and answers, and a lot of prayers for people mm-hmm. who would need some prayers as well.
Amen.
So again, 8 p.m. Tuesday nights on a Zoom. We'll send you the link if you send an email to thehiddenday@protonmail.com, thehiddenday@protonmail.com.
Amen. And like I said, I was there for the inaugural, and really good. I plan to be there again. And I can tell you this. You're going to learn something. You might as well, you know, if you care, you better get involved. Anyway, we'll be back right after the break with the second half of Last Christian.
From Feature Story News in the UK, I'm John Beaver. A 13-year-old boy has died after a sword attack in London on Tuesday morning. Four other people were injured, including two police officers. Investigations are now underway, but the police have said they don't believe it was a terrorist incident. Julia Chapman reports.
Police were called to a scene in northeast London around 7 a.m. on Tuesday after receiving reports that a vehicle had been driven into a house. They say a man wielding a sword went on to attack members of the public and police. London's ambulance service says five people were taken to hospital. A 36-year-old man has now been taken into custody. Police say they don't believe the incident to be terror-related, and local officials have urged people not to speculate about the incident. Julia Chapman, London.
The G7 nations have agreed to phase out coal power stations by 2035. The Italian government, which is hosting a meeting of G7 energy ministers, said an initial agreement was reached on Monday. Giles Gibson has more from Rome.
This is a significant step because it's the first time that the G7 nations have agreed to a specific timeline when it comes to phasing out coal power stations. It also follows the pledge from almost 200 countries at the COP28 climate change conference last December to transition away from fossil fuels, including crude oil and coal. However, while this latest deal from the G7 does include large economies such as the US and Japan, it does not cover China or India, who are two of the world's biggest users of coal.
New data published today shows that euro area annual inflation is expected to remain stable at 2.4% for April, while core inflation continued to fall. Meanwhile, a handful of Europe's main economies grew faster than anticipated in the first quarter of the year. debris from a missile that landed in the eastern Ukrainian city of Kharkiv on January the 2nd was from a North Korean ballistic missile. That's according to a report by the United Nations sanctions monitors. Megumi Lim reports from Kyiv.
The 32-page report, which was seen by Reuters, concluded that missile debris found earlier this year in the city of Kharkiv came from a North Korean Hwasong-11 series missile, which is in violation of the arms embargo on North Korea. North Korea has been under UN sanctions for its ballistic missile and nuclear programs since 2006. The report stated that the information and trajectory provided by the Ukrainian authorities indicated that the missile was launched from within the territory of the Russian Federation. The US has accused North Korea of supplying Russia with weapons to use against Ukraine, which both Moscow and Pyongyang have denied.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams, and joining me from New York City, Mr. David Paxton. David, we didn't get into what I really want to talk about today in the first half of the show, but we're going to start with it pretty quick here.
And, okay.
I want to just tell everybody that if you think that things are going crazy right now, they're different than they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and it's a completely different world from 20 years ago. You're right, but here's the real kicker to it. The Bible prophesied this would happen. Did you know that? The Bible told us it was going to happen. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. You want to read this, David?
Yeah, it says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away.
That's some pretty powerful scripture right there, and we're going to go on through the whole.
Lays it out, right?
Yeah, we're going to go on through the whole thing. But, I mean, he does lay it out, right? I mean, that is exactly what the world is going through right now. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, and it's ramping up. It's I mean, I remember them in the 70s and 80s talking about this, and now we look back, and that was light compared to what's today. So it's just getting multiple times worse. Kind of like the birth pains. They increase, they get stronger and more frequent.
Well, there used to be a song, and I don't remember what title was, but These Are the Good Old Days, something like that. These Are the Good Old Days. You know, and it was a thing where what they were talking about is, as bad as you think it is right now, you know, you're going to look back on it 10 years or 20 years from now, and you're going to say, oh, those were the good old days. Well, I can do that.
Oh, I wish I could be back then.
I can do that right now with the 70s or whatever, you know, that was my era, really, 1970s.
And in the 70s, we're reminiscing about the 50s.
Yeah, but now, I don't think people are going to be able to do that in the 2030s. If we get to the 2030s, I don't think people are going to look back at this time as being the good old days. Maybe they will, because it'll be that really that bad, worse or whatever. What do you think about that, David?
You know what I actually think about a lot is, you know, people think they got this ethereal view of heaven. You know, we're going to be sitting on a cloud playing harp, smoking cigars or something. Doesn't say we're going to go to this far off place called heaven. Yeah. Heaven is a kingdom in our vernacular that we use, and the kingdom is here. Yeah. So when I read the Bible and I read it correctly, he's just going to come back and restore the earth to what it used to be like.
Right, what it was supposed to be.
We will reign.
Yeah.
And then he'll rule for that 1,000 years. And then for that 1,000 years, surprisingly, some people will still turn against him, but that's the whole idea, is he will say, hey, listen, even when I ruled in perfect righteousness, you still, you know, turned against the Lord. And so that's just a whole legal thing. We get we go through a lot of that in the contracts negotiations. God, he's legal and he's just, so he has to play these things out to be a just God.
Yeah.
If he's going to adjudicate correctly, things need to be played out correctly. Yeah. You can't just, you know, dogmatically make decisions and just fly over. It's got to be done right.
Yeah.
So when we look at this, we're going to be coming into the new restructuring of the earth, where, you know, with the lion will lie down with, or the wolf will lie down with the lamb, you know, and the lion will eat grass, and kids will be able to play with snakes if they want to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And nothing will harm anything.
Right.
It says that clearly in all through the prophets. He said, nothing will harm anything in my kingdom.
Amen.
And then there'll be no light. I mean, no need for the sun or candles or anything in Jerusalem. Jesus is the light. It's just going to permeate the light everywhere. So it's going to be amazing, but it will be physical. It will be here. So I often think, to go back to the original thought, is, you know, 50 years, 100 years from now, whenever he comes back, it's going to be close. I know that. But I can guarantee in 100 years, we'll be there.
Yeah.
Maybe soon.
Maybe a lot sooner. Maybe today. Yeah.
Today would be great.
Yeah. Now,
but we're gonna be sitting there and say, hey, let's sit on the edge of, you know, the cliff over here and have some coffee and talk about the good old days.
Yeah.
Remember before the tribulation period, we were talking about, man, that was really interesting, wasn't it? Hey, were you scared? Well, I was a little scared, to be honest, you know. Oh, man, now look at it now. We see all this. Oh, no, I wasn't scared at all, you know. I knew he was coming. We're going to have all these different conversations about today.
Right.
And
yeah.
People don't, I've never heard anyone really talk about that.
No.
And, like, that's what I think about all the time. What kind of conversations are we going to have once we're in the millennium? You know, what are we going to tell the kids? You know, now there's a new kid born. You know, he grows up, and it takes him a while to grow up. He says the baby will be 100, and he'll die young because he received love. So it's going to go back to, it's going to take a while, you know, so you can really build a life. So here's this kid, you know, you're teaching him all these things. Hey, kid, let me tell you about when I had to walk to school, uphill, both ways, in the snow, with pygmies shooting flaming arrows at me. It was horrible. So, and he's going to, what are you talking about? This is great. They're not going to understand the chaos that we're going through now.
Right.
But we're going to be able to explain that to them and how the glory of the Lord shone right through all of this chaos that we're in now.
Amen.
That's going to be interesting, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's kind of a perfect lead in to 2 Timothy 3, verses 6 through 9. Let's take a look at it, David.
For of this sort, now remember, he just said, don't have anything to do with these people.
Right.
Because of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins. Well, that sounds like TV evangelists, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, there's Facebook for you.
Yeah, or the universities. Or the universities of the United States right now.
Yeah, they're never learning nothing. Let's change our thoughts again this week. Now, Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses. So do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was.
Okay, do you want to explain, go a little bit in depth on verse 9?
But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all. Well, let's look it up in other translations and see what it might say.
Okay, that's a good
thing. So I'm going to look in the Young's literal translation and see if a literal thing would help.
Okay.
It says, they shall not advance any further, for their folly shall be manifest to all, as theirs also did become. Okay. So if we back up, and it says, Jannes and Jambres stood against Moses. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, no one knows where they got the names for the, remember the two guys? And Moses came up and they had the two magicians with the snakes.
Yes. Yes.
And they challenged Moses. And Moses threw his stick down, became a snake. Yeah. I could do that too, you know. And then and then Moses's snake
ate theirs. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, apparently their names was Janus and Jambres.
Oh, okay. I thought it might have been the guys, and I'm just my misinformation here, but you know, I thought it might be the ones that complained about all the only thing that they were getting from heaven was manna, you know, while they were out on the 40-year trek.
They were actually Jews that complained.
Okay.
But these guys actually stood against Moses.
Okay.
Now that just tells you, I think that's from the Apocalypse of Moses, because it's not in the Old Testament, their names.
Okay.
That just gives, you know, reason to believe there are other books that we should read, because where did they get this information?
Okay. Like I said, that was just my misinformation, and you know, I never put a name to it. I just knew about the story. You know, we're going to complain. You're feeding us every day, God. You're feeding us every day, but we want something different. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, if you look at the bigger picture here, we see Moses has his staff and he throws it down and it becomes a stick. Well, right. We think that, it's some kind of witchcraft or something. But remember, Satan can only steal what God has and then twist it and use it for evil.
Yeah.
He can't make anything new. So this, obviously God made this to begin with and he can do this. So it has much deeper meanings, and they're trying to say, well, I can do the same thing without God.
Mm-hmm.
I can turn this staff into a snake without your God.
Yeah.
So now again, they're trying to usurp the authority and the creativity and the miracles. That's the word I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
The miracle power of Christ without giving proper kudos to the creator of it all.
Right.
And it's kind of the same thing. Here they are trying to do all this stuff on their own. Well, these do stand against the truth, men corrupted in mind, disapproving concerning the faith, and they won't advance any further, for their folly will be manifest to all.
Mm-hmm.
So, just like Janus and Jambres, when Moses' snake ate their snakes, they look like fools.
Yes.
So now let's take a step back and look at it. When they're trying to do things and say, I can do this without God, God is going to make them look foolish.
Yeah.
And they say, okay, that's it. We're done. You're going to look like fools and everybody's going to see it. That's kind of a surface level of what that means.
Right. Agree. All right. Moving on here. 2 Timothy 3 verses 10 through 14. And again, what David's reading for us today is what I put together is from the New King James Version, just in case you guys don't know what NKJV means. Go ahead, David.
The New King James. All right. So in verse 10, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me.
Amen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution.
There you go.
But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them.
Okay. Now, I think that's pretty important stuff right there. So we need to, I think, dissect this a little bit.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So, David, wherever you want to start there, I'm going to leave the scripture up there and let you kind of go.
All right. Let's dig it. Now, he's talking about, I'd like to actually add to this, too, because elsewhere, you know, Paul says these momentary light afflictions.
Okay.
are nothing to be compared. And it just goes back to me thinking about we're going to be in the kingdom, you know, hanging off a cliff because it doesn't matter, talking about, hey, remember that time?
Mm-hmm.
These momentary light afflictions. And
light
then,
afflictions, which could include cutting your head off, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's only momentary, and after that, you're with the Lord. So, you know, some momentary thing.
Yeah. And, you know, he was stoned and left for dead three times. Okay. And he's beaten silly. And you know what he does? He gets back up and goes back into the city.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, yeah, like Columbo, you know? One more thing. I couldn't help but notice. One more thing.
People don't know who Columbo is. Some of these people are watching this thing and going, who's Columbo?
Go look up Columbo. Yeah. Watch them all.
Look it up. It's a cool series. Let me tell you. I watched it religiously.
I couldn't help but notice.
Right.
That's Paul. He gets up again, goes back in. So what he's talking about is, say, listen, all of these things. Because remember, Demas kind of bailed on him too, remember?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
right.
He had a worker. He's like, he was working with me. This guy was awesome. And then all of a sudden he loved the world and now he's out because right. He didn't like the afflictions.
Yeah.
All right. Which, you know, kind of that, you know, speaks to once saved, always saved. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Demas kind of walked out of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, and what persecutions I endured. But the Lord delivered me. Mm-hmm. I think that's really where we have to be. There's two things that stand out to me, is that number one, you will suffer persecution.
Yes. Yeah.
Number two, that is not the tribulation period.
Amen. Thank you for that. Yes.
Okay. The tribulation period is specifically when God comes to judge Israel at first and then the rest of the world second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's specifically for the chastisement of Israel so they will repent and judgment on the evil world.
Right.
That is not persecution. So when he talks about, hey, we'll suffer tribulation, he's talking about persecution, not the seven-year period,
amen,
which we call the tribulation period.
Right. Perfect.
All right? Because this persecution is coming from outside, from other people.
Mm-hmm.
This is people who don't like you speaking the truth
mm-hmm.
that will come against you. The seven-year period and the great tribulation, you know, when it really ramps up in the second half of that, is specifically God's wrath being poured on the people.
Mm-hmm.
And his bride is not subject to his wrath.
Amen. Right.
So we got to really differentiate that there. And, you know, you people that are saying, oh, here it is, we'll go through tribulation, you better do some exegesis.
Amen. Yeah. Well, now, what one thing that caught my attention, David, begins there in verse number 13, but evil mm-hmm. men and imposters will grow worse and worse.
Mm. Well,
I think we're kind of seeing that right now, don't you?
We have a lot of imposters. Yeah.
Deceiving, you know? And being deceived. I mean,
now, go ahead. That speaks to, we see, you know, Kanye all of a sudden now, you know, now he's coming out with a porn site. And it's like, I thought he was a Christian. And now there's, you know, Brussels sprouts, what's his name, is supposedly said. So we got all these people, you know, imposters. Yeah. Just a lot of people think they're imposters. Now that given, you know, I don't know their hearts. Yeah. Maybe they really did become saved.
I'm going to jump in on that one real quick, because when I saw him, quote unquote, being saved, it was at Joel Osteen's church. And Joel Osteen's church is going to be, they'll be holding services today, the Sunday after the rapture, in my opinion. I do not.
And with a full stadium.
I mean, you know, you know, because he's backed off of the, you know, Jesus is the only way. Osteen has, you know, he's putting works into it now. And, you know, there's a lot of them. And then there's Peter Popoff.
Yeah, didn't he on Larry King? Didn't he say, oh, we worship the same God, when he's talking about Muslims?
Yeah. We don't. You know, the only two religions that worship the same God are Christians and Jews. That's it. There's no other religion on earth that actually worships the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the God of Gods. I mean,
Israel just has to recognize, you know, who he is and how he came now.
Absolutely.
We pray for that.
Absolutely we do.
We'll recognize their Messiah.
Let's let me see here. All right, we showed that one already, so let me move on to the next one here.
Next.
This is 2 Timothy 3:15-17. Again, New King James Version. David, if you'd read it, please.
Yep. And that from childhood You have known the Holy Scriptures. Okay. Mm-hmm. If we back up, to continue in the things you have learned and knowing of whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for mm-hmm. salvation through faith, which is in the Messiah, Yeshua, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, mm-hmm. that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Amen. Amen. So, focusing there on verse number 16, I think is important because it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the mm-hmm. man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the reason that I say that that's important to look at is because there's so many preachers out there now that are saying, well, the Bible didn't mean that. No, it didn't really mean that. You know, we can include this and we've got to be more inclusive. And if you're not inclusive, then, you know, you're a racist or you're, well, there's a litany of what you are. You know, if you don't believe the Word of God exactly as it's,
and they use words they have no idea what they mean.
Right.
Like, who uses the word misogynistic?
Not me. I've never used it once.
It's like, come on. You know, we could tell you're just a parrot because you don't use that in your everyday talk.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
That's my rant.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a good rant because it's true, you know. But what really makes me mad is all these evangelists. And, you know, I'm not going to say the man's name. But he's African American. He calls himself a reverend. He doesn't understand the Bible at all. He puts his own interpretation on it. And he's on CNN and MSNBC a lot.
Oprah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just, well, I am going to say his name. It's Reverend Al Sharpton. He makes me sick. He makes me sick to my stomach because, as far as I know, he's never actually had a church. And his interpretation of Scripture is just that, his personal interpretation. And what does the Bible say that we shouldn't do?
Yeah.
Go ahead, David.
He's got the whole interpretation is racist.
Yeah. Yeah. What isn't
it's like
racist?
It's all about one particular race with it.
What isn't racist right now? You know, that's just the question. Ridiculous. Yeah. That's the question I want to ask. What isn't racist? And I guarantee you, somebody, whatever you come up with, somebody will find a reason why it's racist.
It's racist.
That's their go-to.
I do like coffee.
That's the go-to.
Coffee with cream in it.
Yeah.
That's so, racist.
David, I see all this happening, and this, to me, is, in, again, my personal opinion, and you express yours, the prophecies of the Bible are being fulfilled right before our very eyes. And anybody mm-hmm. that turns to 2 Timothy and reads that, if they don't see it, I would say there's something very wrong. What? Just give me your overall impression.
Yeah, I mean, he says he's going to blind them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our job basically is just to be that candle. Mm-hmm. You know, and here we are. He says, when it's dark out, the candle's the brightest. Right. So the darker it gets out there, the brighter, you know, our little candle's going to shine. Amen. And if we come together, then, you know, it's just more light. You know, you put seven of them, you know, to make it a nice big light. But let's talk about that wise. That you mean, I like verse 17. It says, the man of God may be perfect, you know, and thoroughly furnished is for reproof and correction. Mm-hmm. And 15 says, oh, able to make you wise. So that goes right to Psalm 119, I think. Let me see. And it says,
yeah, I don't have my Bible gateway open right now.
Oh.
But,
oh, there we go. Yep. Psalm 119 and then 98. It says, though through my commandments that has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Mm-hmm. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. And I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. and I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. And I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Mm-hmm. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's right here. That's Paul was talking about this. His commandments make us wiser than the enemies, mm-hmm. you know, even wiser than the ancients. Now yeah. think about that. The ancients built pyramids and
yeah. They still hadn't figured that one out.
Oh. Yeah, and with all the wisdom that was there, you know, and you know, there's reason to believe they knew how to fly and then get into space. We see all these crazy things that they find in ancient artifacts. So that looks like an airplane. That looks like a spaceship. So they probably knew how to fly around, and we think we're so smart today, but we're really not. But that's what David says. The word makes us even wiser than the ancients.
Mm-hmm.
Now think of that. We're wiser than Enoch and Noah and Abraham because of his word. Abraham didn't have the word.
Amen. Yeah.
Right? But these precepts that he's laid down, if you just read them, If you don't understand it, read it. Okay? Right. Read it and say, help me to understand this, Father. And then read it again.
Yeah.
Read it again.
Trust me. If something doesn't make sense to you, I had a really good teacher in one of my Sunday school classes. You know, if something doesn't make sense to you, that's a good reference part to get started.
Now you're going to learn something.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. Good. Now you'll learn something.
Right.
I can tell you this. Sometimes it's 40 years later. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, I was reading stuff just the other day. Remember even last week, right on the show, we're like, when did he put that in there?
Right. That's happened to me on several shows. I mean, you got it once. I've gotten it like 50 or 60 times since we started, I think. But, you know, that's because I'm still a real student, you know. You're like light years ahead of me right now. And by the way, David's going to be putting together something for everybody, and I don't know how much of that you want to reveal right now, but feel free if you want to.
Yeah, well, we have the Bible study is going to be Tuesday nights. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. So email me at thehiddenday@protonmail.com if you want to get a link and join our Bible studies, 8 p.m. Eastern time, New York City time.
Amen.
And we'll be on Zoom, thehiddenday@protonmail.com. And out of that, we're actually going to grow into really having a university level teaching and teaching how we actually find all these things. That's going to be fun too.
I'm looking forward to that for real, you know, and, you know, you're probably saying, well, how much it costs? Well, David doesn't know yet. I mean, we just don't know yet.
Listen, you want to be in there, we'll make it happen.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So, you know, don't worry about costs, because we're not, and I've said this, for years. And by the way, today is our 3rd year anniversary. We're now going into, today, this show right here. I meant to start it with that and I forgot. But we're not here to make a lot of money. We're here, hopefully, to reach that one individual who is the last Christian, that last individual to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church. So all you got to do is say that quick prayer. Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I know Jesus Christ died for me. I know he rose again on the 3rd day, and I know he's waiting on God to tell him to come back and get his church. I will follow you all the rest of the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And you will be saved. We will see you in the next show. It's all David. Good night, and God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.